Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church. I'm really excited to be bringing the message today. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. Father God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word and how you speak to us, Lord, how you use it, Lord, to change us and challenge us. I ask you to speak to each person today. I pray, God, that if there's anything in me, God, that would be a distraction, that you would just kind of take that away so that people can really just hear clearly what you have to say this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was thinking this week about experiences I've had, and I wonder if you have ever met someone new who was really pretty interesting. You felt like, you know, you kind of got along well, maybe you had a lot in common, but as you, you know, kept trying to get to know them and maybe build a relationship, it just seemed like something was kind of stopping that from happening. There's a lot of reasons that can happen. You know, it could be something like your schedules really don't align, or especially pre-pandemic, it could be that they lived really far away from you. But it also could have to do with maybe the difficulty of creating an emotional connection. There's a few things to think about with that is, you know, one, were they a good listener? Are you a good listener? Another question is, you know, do one or both of you struggle to relate emotionally? Maybe because of a lack of empathy, or maybe there's not much vulnerability. And as I thought about what it takes to have an emotional connection with people, I realized that we really need to connect emotionally to God. We're currently in a sermon series called Beyond Belief, and Pastor Andrew taught us that we need to make sure that we believe the truth about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us, and about our need for Jesus to be our Savior. And then we also need to have faith, which means trusting in God's promises, trusting in his decisions, and ultimately trusting God with our lives. Belief in the truth and trusting God with our lives really pave the way for us to have a relationship with God. And today we're going to talk about how having an emotional connection with God strengthens our belief and our trust in him. So let's start by talking about how emotions strengthen our beliefs. I thought about two examples of this. The first has to do with a circus. You know, it may be that as a child you went to the circus and really enjoyed the silly clowns and the loud bangs of maybe fireworks or somebody shooting out of a cannon. Maybe you loved all the animals and the acrobats. And so for you, the circus was really something you got excited about, and you had a belief that the circus is a fun and a happy place. But other people may have experienced it differently. Maybe they felt like the clowns were kind of creepy and maybe just got a little too in their face. Maybe they also didn't really like all the loud noises and the big crowds. Maybe those were just kind of unsettling for them. So that experience could lead someone to really feel that the circus is kind of scary and maybe a dangerous place. Another example is birthdays. For some, birthdays are filled with family and friends, good food, special celebrations, and they develop a belief that birthdays are really important. They need to be celebrated and they shouldn't be missed. But someone else may have grown up with an absent parent who kind of promised over and over to call or to visit, and so this person would wait every year hoping that their parent would come. And most of the time they didn't. And so that could lead a person to have a belief that birthdays are actually not important. They could dread birthdays and just believe that they're a terrible waste of time, that maybe it's better just to forget about them altogether. In the examples that I just mentioned, people felt different emotions, and these emotions really strengthened or reinforced their positive or negative belief about a situation. And just like emotions can strengthen our beliefs about things like the circus and birthdays, emotions can also strengthen our belief and our trust in God. And the truth is that we need an emotional connection with God. First, let's talk about how to have emotional connections with people. Well, similar to what I was talking about before, in order for a relationship to really build and get stronger, people need to form an emotional connection. Well, how does that happen? First, it really takes intentional or active listening. Similar to what Pastor Andrew preached when he talked about being quick to listen, we need to listen to understand, not just to wait till, not so that we can think about what we want to say next or think about a good retort, but really just slowing it down and making listening our first priority. we also need to show empathy. We want to really understand where a person's coming from. You know, we can listen to their experience and think of our own similar experience, and then from the emotions we felt, really try to put ourselves in their shoes and understand, wow, what that must have felt like for them. It also means paying attention and remembering what makes the other person feel happy or sad. What do they get angry about, or what do they get really excited about? And when we do all these things, this begins to build some trust between the two people. And that leads us to a place of becoming, hopefully, more vulnerable, sharing a little more deeply. And the goal would be that, you know, both people are reciprocating and sharing equally. Well, so far, I'm talking about all these ways that we connect with people. So now let's apply these principles to connecting with God. Let's start by reading Matthew 22, 34 to 40 in the NIV. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Before Jesus came, people who worshiped God practiced their belief and their trust in God by following the laws that God had given them, all 613 of them. The question, which is the greatest commandment, was really meant to trick Jesus into saying something controversial or heretical. And they wanted to decrease his popularity, and really these Jewish leaders wanted to strengthen their own positions of power and influence. But Jesus' answer shocked them, because he brought up two laws that were actually already viewed as preeminent, and he showed how all the other laws really were summed up by these two. I'm going to reread verse 37 and 38. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." Let's talk about love. We often talk about love in the context of relationship. The word for love used here isn't actually about the warm, fuzzy feeling that we get of affection. It's actually talking about commitment. And in the context of a committed love relationship with God, we're called to love God with our entire being. Loving with our hearts means loving God with our feelings and our thoughts. Loving with our souls speaks to our will. It means actively choosing to submit our will and our desires to God. It means we're choosing to obey his commands and we're accepting his will. Loving God with our minds means believing the truth of the gospel and also using our intellect to study and understand his word and his world. What we find is that loving God in the context of a relationship involves what we believe and what we feel. We've spent a good amount of time in past sermons talking about loving God with our minds by believing the truth about him. Well, today let's talk about how to love God with our hearts and really build an emotional connection with God. It's similar to how we form an emotional connection with people. So let's apply some of those principles that I discussed earlier. First, it's listening to God and showing empathy. One way we can do this is reading his word and paying attention to what we read in terms of what pleases God, what God gets angry or jealous over. And then also listening in prayer instead of doing all the talking. I'll admit that for me, this is not easy to do, but it is a discipline that we can practice. And we can build trust not only by learning to trust God ourselves, but showing that we are trustworthy. And we can do this by remembering what God likes, what he dislikes, kind of things like what he commands, what he tells us to do or not to do, and then working to do that ourselves. And the last part I want to mention is being vulnerable by sharing what we're actually feeling, telling God what we hope for, and just being honest. Because how many times do we come to God and tell him exactly what we think he wants to hear, and we miss the opportunity to connect with God on a heart level? I want to read Psalm 13 today because it's a great example of being vulnerable with God. I chose this psalm because in the 6 verses, we see quite an array of emotions. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. It seems that David trusts that God is a good listener, and he feels secure in his relationship with God, so he pours out his heart. He makes himself totally vulnerable. As he lays everything out before God and expresses his feelings, I was reflecting on it and I saw quite a few feelings. I saw abandonment, anxiety, sorrow, frustration, hopelessness, and even fear. And after David gets all these difficult feelings out, he's chosen to turn his attention to what he knows about God. He focuses on God's unfailing love and the ways God has been good to him. Remembering this helps him to rejoice in how God has saved him, and then he's able to choose to sing praise to God. David models vulnerability and emotional connection, but he also models the next big idea, which is do not let your emotions dictate your relationship with God or your Christian beliefs. Emotions can affect our Christian beliefs and our relationship with God regardless of if an experience is viewed as negative or positive. Outside of the pains and challenges of life, some people have had bad experiences in church or with other Christians, and they let their emotions dictate their relationship with God and sometimes even their belief in God or about God. They may begin to believe that God is judgmental, hypocritical, or that he just doesn't care. This can also happen with what is typically viewed as a positive spiritual experience, like a Christian conference or a camp. People may have a mountaintop experience and feel so close to God. And let me be clear and say that these are important experiences to have. Getting away from our everyday life and our roles and responsibilities and just being in a place where we're for a day or a few days, we're able to just completely focus on God, on hearing his word, on worshiping him with others. These can be really transformational experiences. The difficulty that can arise though is that when people get back to their everyday life, the spiritual high is gone. There's no more tears of joy or people praising God passionately, and things may actually feel a little boring or uninspiring. And if Christians are not careful, they may find themselves believing that God is distant or that he's forgotten them. And this is why it's important, one of the reasons it's important, to seek out other Christians in all areas of our lives, as Pastor Andrew was preaching last week, because we need others to help us remember that, hey, God is here, God is with me. And it's in those moments that we sometimes might find our emotions affecting our belief in God. And so we need to remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:7 in the NIV. It says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." What Paul is saying is that we live out our belief in God and our relationship with him by faith. We can't see God while we're on earth, so we have to believe and trust that he is always with us and that he's at work in the world and in our lives. And just like we choose to live by faith and not by sight, we also need to choose to live by faith and not by feeling. Unfortunately, our feelings, though God-given and important, are inconsistent. They're unreliable. And we definitely can't base our relationship with God or our belief in him on our wavering feelings. As one author pointed out, God isn't some cheap Wi-Fi hotspot whose signal we mysteriously lose from time to time. I want to end with this encouragement. Let's work to develop positive emotions about our belief and faith in God. I encourage you to remember what God has done for you and that he loves you. If you've had bad experiences in the past, or if you're upset with God or have negative feelings toward God, remember in the midst of all that, he still loves you. Hebrews 13:8 in the NIV says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." He doesn't change. We may not always feel God's presence, and we may not always feel close to Him, but He hasn't moved. No matter what you do or what you've done in the past, God's love for you doesn't change, and His ability to save and rescue you is the same. There's one more verse I'd like to leave you with today. It's Romans 5:8 in the New Living Translation. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. If that is not an act of love, I don't know what is. It's pretty hard not to feel loved and have positive emotions towards someone who does something sacrificial, even extravagant, for us when we don't deserve it. We may feel this way towards our parents or maybe someone else who sacrificed a great deal for us. But the greatest act of sacrificial love came from God, sending His own Son to die in our place while we were still living in sin, not even aware of our need for a Savior. I hope that as you reflect on this, you'll have a positive emotional experience with God that can strengthen your belief and your faith in God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are here with us, that You don't change, and that You gave up everything to die for us when we were still sinners. We thank You that You're able to change our emotional experiences. You're able to transform us, even if we've had some really hard experiences with Christians or the church in the past. God, You're able to redeem those, and You're able to give us new experiences with You. And so I pray that, God, for all of us today, that we would really be aware of how our emotions are affecting our relationship with You or our belief in You. And I pray, God, that if we feel that we aren't emotionally connected with You, God, either we haven't received You as our Savior, or we have, but we've kind of just been feeling distant, that, God, we would come to You and do all these things we've been talking about today to become connected to You, because God, You're right there. You haven't changed or moved. Lord, I pray all this, and I know that You love each person so deeply, and that You desire and long to have a close, intimate connection with them. So I pray that You'd help us, God, this week to really make time to work on our emotional connection with You, God, and to really strengthen our belief and our trust in who You are. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love all of you. We're praying for you and thinking about you. Take care.